Yashodanandana Brajajanaranjana Yamuna Tiro Vanachadi Yamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Janavalava Giribada Dadi Jaya Gopi Janavalava Giribada Dadi Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we're reading from the 9th canto, chapter 10, text 14 and 13 and 14. Text 13, I'll read the Sanskrit, the translation, and then we'll chant together text 14.
Yad rasa vibhrahma vivritta kitakshapata sambhranta nakra makado bhayagir nagosha sindhu Shiras arhanam pari grihaya rupi padara vindam upagamya babhasa etat.
Translation. I need to invoke the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Translation. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows.
Na tvam vayam jadadiyo nuvidham abhuman. Kutashtamadi purusham jagatam adhisham. Yat sattvata suragana rajasa prajesha. Manyoscha bhuta pataya sabhavan gunesha. Natvam vayam jadadiyon vidham abhuman. Kutashtamari purusham jagatam adisham. Yat sattvata suragana rajasa prajesha. Manyoscha bhuta pataya subhavan gunesha. Natvam vayam jadadiyo nudvidham abhuman. Kutashtamadi purusham jagatam adisham. Yat sattvata suragana rajasa prajesha. Manya shabhuta pataya sabhavan gunesha. Natvam vayam tatiyo yavinam.
Not. Tvam, your lordship. Vayam, we. Jadadiya, dull-minded, possessing blunt intelligence. Nu, indeed. Vidhama, can know. Bhuman, O supreme. Kutashtam, within the core of the heart. Adi Purusham, the original personality of Godhead. Jagatam, of the universes, which progressively go on. Adhisham, the supreme master, yet fixed under your direction. Sattvata, infatuated with Sattvagun. Suragana, such demigods. Rajasa, infatuated with Rajagun. Praja Isha, the Prajapatis. Manyo, influenced by Tamagun. Cha, and Bhutapataya, rulers of ghosts. Rulers of ghosts. Saha, such a personality. Bhavan, your lordship. Gunaisha, the master of all three modes of material nature. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O all-pervading supreme person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. Purport. The word Jadadhiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. The Hindi poet has said, Dukha se saba hari bhaje, sukha se bhaje koi. Sukha se agar hari bhaje, dukha katan se hoi. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord, but when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through the material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation repeated. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are, but now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance, but you are the master of all these qualities. So, we are hearing the prayers of... Does anyone remember? Who's speaking this nice verse? It's helpful to understand the context. The ocean, the personified ocean. So Varun, we understand, is the deity of the ocean. And Lord Ramachandra here fasted for 3 days as he was on his way to attempt to cross the ocean. The ocean did not come. So the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. Simply by glancing over the ocean, all living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra. Falling at his feet, he spoke as follows. So here in this text, we're hearing how the position of the Lord is beyond the modes of material nature. We understand Sattva-gun, Raja-gun, and Tamagun are the predominating forces in this material world. They are actually what's governing everything. Right? Krishna says that actually the modes are only doing everything. It's a foolish person thinks he's the doer. Actually, he does nothing at all. So the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of the modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. What's that verse? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So this ahankar, this is the abode or the reserve where the modes of nature are, how they're affecting us through our false ego, because the soul is pure. But when the soul comes in contact very subtly, mysteriously with the material energy, then the false ego manifests in different, according to different modes of nature, manifests our body, our mind, our senses. So this whole realm that we're in right now is predominated by that false ego. It's a product of false ego. And it is controlled more or less by these different modes of nature. So it's described here, the demigods, the devas, they're under the mode of they're predominated by the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness means happiness, contentment, and knowledge. So Prabhupada is explaining the Purport, when one is in that position of opulence or happiness, then generally they tend to forget the Lord. So this is why the mode of goodness is considered like a golden chain. If one comes to the mode of goodness, they may be peaceful or happy, but we're still bound to the material energy. So our goal in Krishna consciousness is not to become just peaceful or happy. It's actually to go beyond the modes of nature to the Shuddha-sattva platform. Then the mode of passion is described here. The Prajapatis, the progenitors. Their mode of passion means material advancement, material enjoyment, procreation. This is the business of the Prajapatis. Or that's rather the characteristics of the mode of passion. So also that influences our devotional service. the mode of passion, trying to become the doer, trying to think that by doing so many different things, then I will become advanced. But actually, we're not the doer. Humility means I can aspire, I can try to serve the Lord. Any result, any good thing that comes is the Lord's mercy. And the Lord of Ghosts, the mode of ignorance. So also the mode of ignorance influences us so often. Generally, when one advances in devotional service, stitam sattve prasidati. Is that? There's a nice verse that comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes how the aspiring sadhaka comes to the mode of goodness. Tamo bhava ja kamalobha dayaschaye cheta etayarnavitam stitam sattve prasidati. So only when we go beyond the modes of passion and ignorance and come to the platform of goodness, then we can aspire to serve the Lord. The mode of goodness is the platform. It's described like a lens. If we see through a red lens or yellow lens or black lens, then our perception of reality, in other words, when we look at Krishna, what are we seeing? We're seeing our projected understanding of Krishna, which means we may see what looks like a statue, but we may not understand actually the presence of the Lord. But in the mode of goodness, it's like having the clear lens, so one can actually, it's like a window to transcendence. It's not fully transcendence, but it allows us to perceive what our goal is and what the nature of spiritual substance is. So that verse is saying that one has to go beyond the modes of passion, ignorance, come to the platform of goodness. From that platform, we can worship the Lord. We can't worship the Lord if we're still in the bodily conception of life, because we'll have so many distractions, right? How can we think of Krishna if we have so many other things to worry about? We have so many things on our mind. We have so many subtle desires, material desires. Then that form of Krishna can't really manifest in the mind. So therefore, we must endeavor, the Bhagavatam is saying, by nityam bhagavata sevaya, by intense shravanam and kirtanam. This should mature as we progress in devotional service, our taste for hearing and chanting about the Lord. Every morning we have this opportunity in Bhagavatam class. So we have to get into it. If you want to do it, if you want to be successful, you have to actually get into it. You cannot be a passive observer in this process and expect to get the fruit. The fruit is available to those who, just like anything, we all went to school. If you want to really be a good student, you have to be attentive. You have to sit in the front. You have to know what the subject is, done your homework. So also like that, devotional service actually is full of bliss. Susukam kartamavyayam. The process, it's not a problem with the process, it's the problem with us. How much are we willing to put our heart into it? How much are we eager for that? And Krishna will reciprocate with our desire. So we have to desire to surrender to the Lord completely. That's the platform of real happiness, when we let go of our fears or our worries or anxieties and except that actually Krishna knows best. Krishna is the best friend, and he's the supreme controller. If we really understand these points, Prabhupada said this is the peace formula. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam getva mam shantim richati. He becomes peaceful. He knows that I'm the supreme owner of everything. I'm the controller. I'm the best friend of all living entities. So when you know that Krishna is your best friend, he wants your best interest, and you know that he's in control of everything, then we have to surrender to Krishna's will. We're always a little bit afraid. We're sticking our feet in the water, that maybe I'll surrender to Krishna, but I don't know what will happen. But no, Krishna knows better than us what we need. And those who have done that, who've taken that step of surrender, they're encouraging us. They're saying, don't worry, don't fear. What, you won't miss out on anything. Actually, you'll be the real gainer. Everyone in the material world is missing out. Material prosperity means missing out. Material happiness means missing out. But they are under that influence, so they'll try to convince you, no, you guys are missing out. But a learned transcendental Assisi says, no, actually, the whole material world is missing out on the reality of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Prem, the reality of the soul, the reality of the spiritual world. So it's actually very abominable to be in the material world. It's a fallen position. So we don't have anything to be proud about. So these verses, specifically in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that when one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple, but when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society, for without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. So the dull, blunt intelligence cannot perceive the Lord. The Lord is adhokshaja. He's beyond the realm of the senses. Atashri Krishna namadina bhavet graim indriyai sevamakehi jivados svayamevas pratyada. Material, contaminated mind and consciousness cannot approach the Lord. He's transcendental. Therefore, these disturbances through material nature are necessary in human society to bring us back to our senses, to remind us. Also for devotees, when we get difficulties or challenges, is remind us of this material world. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to stay here and go on with my life as a sadhaka, my glorious life as a sadhaka. It's not a very, from a higher perspective, a pretty picture. The real point is to become determined, dridhavrataha, determined to go back to Godhead by Krishna's mercy. Krishna can give us all the tools, everything we need. But as we have mentioned, he's reciprocating with our desire. So we want to purify our intelligence and awaken that firm desire to serve Krishna purely. And that will actually give us what we're looking for. So I want to move on to another topic that's related to this purport. But maybe we'll see if there's any comments or reflections or questions on that point before we move on to another.
I'm wondering how. New devotee were influenced by the modes of
you said what? A pure devotee?
As a new devotee, neophyte devotee, influenced by the lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance. So then it's clearly beneficial to develop the mode of goodness, but then also you're not supposed to become conditioned by that. So it seems like a little tricky, like you're supposed to strive for the mode of goodness, but at the same time not become attached to it.
We should cultivate goodness in our activities, but we do that through devotional service. The formula Krishna gives in Bhagavad is mam chayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kapate. By unflinching devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, one transcends the modes and comes to the level of Brahman. So our process is through bhakti, through devotion to Guru and Krishna. It's like automatically pulling us through the modes of nature. It's already pulling us up. But because we always have free will, we still have to, in the material realm, desire to associate ourselves with things in the mode of goodness to facilitate that. So we want to be in an atmosphere, ideally, where we can concentrate. Like if we're studying, that's mode of goodness. We want to rise early, that's mode of goodness. We want to eat healthy sattvic foods, prasadam, that is helping us engage in devotional service. Does that make sense?
So the danger would be to try to cultivate motive
externally
goodness
cultivate
of
exactly
Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, to just try to be peaceful or knowledgeable, comfortable, that those things aren't actually favorable for devotional service. But in devotional service, having your necessities taken care of and things like that, that is favorable. You see, so it depends on what is the primary inspiration and motivator for us is bhakti, actually. But it's a very interesting relationship. It's there in Bhagavatam, in a lot of places, how they're connected. So it's good to reflect on that. Anything else? Yes.
Hi, Bo. You said that the modes are controlling us, that everyone's controlled by the modes. But then later you said that one must desire the mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. So if the modes are controlling one, is it the mind, the false ego, that's getting allured by the modes? And then the intelligence is the desire for the mode of goodness?
The ability to transcend the modes comes by association with sadhus. Those who are free from the modes, by their association, they can engender within us pure devotional desire. Desire comes from the soul. It's manifested through the mind. But the free will, even if I'm under the modes of nature, let's say I'm in my sleeping bag and I can't get up, I'm definitely under the modes, but still I have free will, still I have desire. So the modes are controlling us in the conditioned state, and that is manifested, like you mentioned, through the, actually in the mind, the modes are active in the mind. But if I'm living in the temple and everyone's going to Mangal Arati, even though I may be in the lower modes, by their association, I am, you know, roused out of my slumber, so to speak, to attend the Mangal Arati and associate with devotees and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So the desire is there. Initially, the soul has thinking, feeling, willing are functions of the mind, but they are just reflecting in the conditioned state the pure desire of the soul. So the origin of desire is in the soul. But this is actually difficult, and this is why it's so difficult to get out of the conditioned nature, because it's very subtle form of conditioning. It's almost like we're overpowered. But the philosophy is that actually the jiva always has free will. He can always choose either Krishna, he can choose either Kishore Kishori or sleep. So the modes will be acting heavily, but not to the exclusion that he'll be forced to rot perpetually in the material atmosphere. He still has that ability. Krishna will reciprocate and provide him what he needs to come to higher levels, primarily through association. If you associate with people who are in the lower modes, then you'll see very quickly that's why that bad association is so dangerous. Karmi, materialistic association is extremely contaminating, actually. We call it karmi, but actually it's vikarmi. It's people who are not following any restriction. They're not following any process of elevation. It's actually, we all have to be very much on guard when we go out and do our service, that we don't actually mix so intimately with that type of consciousness, because you'll find your own consciousness. If you're not careful, your own consciousness will be swimming in Maya. And you'll say, whoa, what happened? So deeper and deeper, this is not what I'm saying, this is what the Shastra is saying, this is what Bhagavatam, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, this is what God is saying. Association with materialistic people is very degrading. We lose all of our good qualities. Therefore, you see devotees who are practicing for so long, decades, sometimes they go away, they leave, they get carried, forcefully carried away. Why? Because of bad association, material world. We have to be polite and social and all these things, but we have to be on guard also and be careful, because I've been mentioning this statement to many people over the past few days, but I read it from a Baha'i text. It says, how can two people walk together if they're walking in different directions? So there's formality and social intercourse. Be polite and respectful, but the more we study and get absorbed in Shastra and Srimad Bhagavatam, we realize, oh my God, what is going on out there? It's really like I got to spend some extended time in India. It's very helpful to just kind of like reset our whole conditioning. Because as a devotee in India, if you spend some time there, you see a much more purified, elevated culture and lifestyle and consciousness. And then when you look at the West, and especially when you're studying the Shastra, it's more about studying the Shastra than going to India, because India is also now very, very Western. But when you study Srimad Bhagavatam and you see what is the real standard of civilization and consciousness, and then you see what's going on today, it's quite alarming. So we have to inoculate ourselves by strong sadhana so that you can fish but don't touch the water, as they say. You could be in the world but not of the world. It's not such an easy thing to keep Krishna in the mind in a genuine way. Krishna only wants to come and sit in the clean place, in clean chitta, clean consciousness. So if our consciousness is very much materialistic or fruitive, or we're after so many different things, and just why would Krishna want to come there? He likes clean places. Temple has to be clean. So the mind, the heart has to be clean for Krishna to take his seat there. Okay? Harivo. Now, we're hearing these nice pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is giving only a concise overview. And anyone who gets absorbed in the nectar of Ramayana develops a very special place for Lord Ram in their heart. Here we have Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we appreciate the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and we see how they stimulate ecstatic devotion for the Lord, for Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, because they are described as the most munificent avatars or incarnations of Godhead. Namo Mahava Danyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorachise Namaha. So Gornitaya are the most merciful, in that sense, the most amazing, the most wonderful forms of Godhead. They are the original personalities of Godhead, and they also relish all of the different bhavas of their descents in various times. So I have some nice pastimes here that I'll read. And also, because Giridhari Prabhu was here, these are some of his favorite pastimes. But this is a nice nectarian way to relish Lord Ram's Leela also, and simultaneously get the mercy of Gaur Nitai and their relishment. So we'll read a little bit. Today's Ekadashi, it's a good day for increased hearing and chanting, remembrance of the Lord. We'll read a little bit from the Chaitanya Bhagavat about how Lord Nityananda is also relishing these pastimes of Lord Ram, specifically here where he's crossing the bridge to Lanka, etc. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is an ocean of mercy. All glories to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is the friend of those who are ignorant of the goal of life. So just see, we're talking about this materialistic civilization, but here, Nityananda, the friend of those who are ignorant of the goal of life. So this is the reconciliation point that Gaur Nitai have come in Kali Yuga. All glories to he who is the life, wealth, and soul of Sri Advaita Chandra. All glories to he who is the shelter of Sri Vasangadadhar. All glories to Lord Vishwambar, the son of Sachi and Jagannath. All glories to the devotees, who are the beloved associates of the Lord. On the order of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Anantadev had already appeared in Radhadesh and was engaged in various pastimes. That's Nityananda. His father's name was Hadai Ojha, and his mother was Padmavati. Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared in the village of Ekachakra as the lord of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. From his childhood, Lord Nityananda was sober, intelligent, and the abode of all good qualities. His charming loveliness defeated that of millions of cupids. The entire district of Radhadesh was filled with auspiciousness and devoid of famine and poverty from the time of his birth. The day that Lord Gaurachandra appeared in Navadvip in Radhadesh, Lord Nityananda roared loudly. His roar spread throughout innumerable universes, and people of the entire world were practically rendered unconscious. Some people said it was a thunderbolt, while others thought it was a great calamity. Other people said, "We know the cause. It was the loud roaring of Nityananda Goswami, the Lord of the Gaudiyas." In this way, people had different opinions about what had happened, but no one could recognize Lord Nityananda due to the influence of his illusory energy. Nityananda remained hidden as he enjoyed childhood pastimes with the other children. The pastimes that the Lord enjoyed with his childhood friends were all related to the activities of Lord Krishna. He and his friends formed an assembly of demigods, and one of them, acting as Mother Earth, offered prayers to them. They then led Mother Earth to the riverbank, and the children all began to offer prayers. Then one of the boys, hidden from view, loudly declared, "I will soon take birth in Mathura, Gokul." One evening, the Lord and his friends enacted the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki. Then late one night, while everyone slept, they made a prison and enacted the birth of Lord Krishna. They created a Gokul, and Krishna was taken there in exchange with Mahamaya, thereby tricking King Kamsa. Another time they dressed someone as Putana, and someone climbed on her chest to suck her breast. One day Nityananda and his boyfriends made a shakata, or handcart, out of reeds, and then broke it. Another day the Lord and his friends stole from the houses the neighboring cowherd men. Stole from the houses of the neighboring cowherd men. The boys never left Nityananda's association to go home, but continued sporting with him day and night. The children's parents did not complain, rather they would affectionately embrace Nityananda. They said, "We have never seen such transcendental sports. How does this child know so many of Krishna's pastimes?" One day the Lord made snakes out of leaves and then took his friends to the water. One of them jumped into the water and remained there inert. Later the Lord brought him back to consciousness. Oh no, this is very nice. It has purports by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This pastime is described in the Bhagavatam as follows. Once surrounded by his boyfriends, Krishna went without Balaram to the Jamuna River, where the cows and cowherd boys became afflicted by thirst and were feeling acute distress from the glaring summer sun. When they drank the water of the Jamuna River that had been contaminated by the serpent's poison, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness and fell lifeless at the water's edge. At that time, Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic potency, felt compassion and immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So that was that pastime. Another day, the Lord and his friends went to Talavan, where they killed Denukasura and then ate the tal fruits. Nityananda and his childhood friends went into the fields and enjoyed various pastimes, such as the killing of Bakasura, Akasura, and Vatsasura. In the afternoon, the Lord and his associates returned home, blowing buffalo horns. One day, they enjoyed the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Another day, they created a Vrindavan, wherein they enjoyed various sports. One day they enacted Krishna's pastime of stealing the gopis' clothes, and another day they enacted his meeting the wives of the Brahmins. On one occasion, a boy dressed as Narada with a beard and gave Kamsa some confidential information. As Nityananda, another day, one boy dressed as Akrura and took Krishna and Balaram to Kamsa's capital. As Nityananda cried in the mood of the gopis, it appeared to his friends that a river was flowing from his eyes. Due to the influence of Vishnu's illusory energy, no one could recognize Nityananda as he enjoyed pastimes with his friends. The children arranged the city of Mathura and then wandered through its streets. Someone played the role of gardener and someone accepted a flower garland from him. In this way, Nityananda's friends imitated the pastimes of the various incarnations. Now, today is also a fasting day for Vamana Dev. One day, Nityananda dressed like Vamana and went to cheat Bali Maharaj out of his kingdom, which covered the three worlds. Someone played the role of the aged Shukracharya who forbid Bali from giving the three steps. After accepting the gift, the Lord placed his last step on the head of Bali. One day, Nityananda enacted the pastime of building a bridge across the ocean, while the boys played the role of monkeys. They cut castor oil plants and made a bridge across the water. Then all the boys exclaimed, "Jai Raghunath!" Nityananda accepted the role of Lakshman, who angrily went with a bow in his hand to chase Sugriva. "O king of the monkeys, my lord is in distress. Come quickly or I'll kill you. How can you sit here enjoying with women while he is lamenting on Malyavan mountain?" And these are pastimes from the Ramayana. Another day, Lord Nityananda spoke in anger to Parashuram, "O Brahman, I am not at fault. Leave here at once." Lord Nityananda was absorbed in the mood of Lakshman. The boys, however, could not understand this and thought it was just a game. On another occasion, five boys took the role of monkeys, and the Lord took the role of Lakshman. "Who are you monkeys wandering in the forest? I am the servant of Ramachandra. Tell me who you are." They replied, "We are wandering out of fear of Vali. Please take us to Ramachandra. We wish to take the dust of his lotus feet." The Lord embraced them and led them to Ramachandra, whereupon they all fell at his feet. One day the Lord enacted the pastime of killing Indrajit, the son of Ravan, and one day in the mood of Lakshman, he accepted defeat. Someone in the role of Vibhishan was brought before Ramachandra, and Ram performed his Abhishek, or coronation, installing him as the king of Lanka. One boy said, "I am the mighty Ravana. Now I'm releasing the Shakti Shela weapon. Stop it if you can, Lakshman." Saying this, the boy threw a lotus flower at Nityananda, and in the mood of Lakshman, he fell to the ground. After the Lord, in the mood of Lakshman, fell unconscious, all the boys tried in vain to revive him. When they found no symptom of life remained in the body of Nityananda, they all held their heads and began to cry. The Lord's father and mother came running there and also observed that there was no sign of life in their son. They then also fell to the ground unconscious. Everyone who saw this tragedy was struck with wonder. As the boys described the entire incident, someone said, "I understand why he's unconscious. Previously, one great actor played the role of Dasharatha, and when he heard that Ram had left for the forest, he left his body." Someone else said, "This boy is dressed as Hanuman. If he gives him medicine, he'll be cured." Before the incident, the Lord had instructed all his friends, "When I fall unconscious, you should all gather around me and cry. After a while, send Hanuman for some medicine. I'll recover when he puts the medicine to my nose." When the Lord fell unconscious in his own mood, the boys were all bewildered. Because they were so confused, they could not remember the Lord's instructions. They simply cried loudly, "Oh, brother, please get up." But when the boys heard people's comments, they remembered Nityananda's instruction, and the boy dressed as Hanuman immediately went for the medicine. Another boy dressed as a renunciant welcomed Hanuman with fruits and roots. The renunciant said, so he says, "Therefore, I'm going to Gandhamandana Hill to bring medicine. Only then will he survive." The two boys repeated whatever Nityananda had instructed them. Therefore, everyone gazed at them in astonishment as they listened to their conversation. Hanuman is having his pastimes here. After defeating the Gandharvas, Hanuman took the Gandhamandana Hill on his head to Lanka. Another boy, playing the role of a doctor, remembered Lord Ram as he held the medicine to Lakshman's nose. At that very moment, Lord Nityananda regained his consciousness, upon which his parents and all others there smiled in relief. Hari Pandit embraced his son, and all the boys became overjoyed. Everyone asked, "Dear son, where have you learned all this?" The Lord smiled and said, "These are all my pastimes." In his early childhood, the Lord was most attractive. No one wanted to let him go from their laps. Everyone had more affection for Nityananda than they had for their own sons, but no one could recognize him due to the influence of Lord Vishnu's illusory energy. In this way, from the beginning of his childhood, Nityananda had no happiness other than enjoying the pastimes of Lord Krishna. All of his friends left their parents to constantly sport in the company of Nityananda. I offer repeated obeisances at the feet of those boys who enjoyed the association of Lord Nityananda. Thus, from his childhood, Nityananda had no interest other than enacting the various pastimes of Lord Krishna. Who can describe the pastimes of Lord Ananta? They are only manifest to one who has received his mercy. Nityananda Ram Ki Jai. So these are actually very elevated pastimes of Lord Nityananda. We may or may not be actually having the ability to really relish these pastimes due to insufficient bhakti and knowledge of the Lord's pastimes. But actually, Nityananda and all his coward friends, they're absorbed in the actual moods of all these pastimes, which are the highest forms of meditation. Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, Lord Krishna's pastimes, and Goloka Vrindavan, these are the summit of spiritual experience. So the devotees, by hearing and chanting the Lord's pastimes, they also are able, by the Lord's mercy, to get some glimpse of that influence, some small semblance of the Lord's pastimes, which are so sweet that they actually attract our heart, and they allow us to experience a higher taste than the material attraction. So we should go on reading, and that eventually the taste will come, although we may not have it at this point in our development. So, unless there's any other questions or comments, we'll probably wrap up here for today. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.